share with Rabbi. We don't want to go through another mic stand.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Okay, Terry, you want to do Everlasting God? It's on. Oh, you want to test my mic? You want to test my headset? Test 1, 2. Buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4. Shut the door. It works. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the headset's working. I'll turn it off. It is off. The headset's off.
Testing 1, 2. This is Dawn's mic. No batteries.
Yeah, no batteries. What they done there?
You want me to test the headset again? Test, 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 test. It works good. Yeah.
Yes. You're good.
Test, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is mic 4. Mic 4. Test, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, want to do Everlasting God? Flat. Give me an A. Sing with us, Diane, if you want. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not make you old, grow weary. You're the dear comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. We need more guitar for Terry. I don't know if you need it out there, but I could use a little more up here.
In the monitor.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Here we go. God, you reign forever.
flat is just the note, but it's one below it. That's all you need to know about a flat. It's the note, but it's one below.
The note below.
It's the note, but it's one below.
Zero.
Zero. Okay, so we'll start with Shabbat Shalom. The communion will be Hosanna, offering will be Hosanna, praises rising. You need to do that one?
Praises rising.
Hosanna, praises rising is your offering.
Well, I can do that one.
So, okay.
No,
and then, oh, give thanks is communion.
Yeah.
Be bold, brother.
Don't worry, I did it.
Let's go.
So
we can pray if you want for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we need to always pray. You never can pray enough.
Yeah. We've got to pray just to make it today.
So we don't have an order of service then? We don't have an order of service?
I don't
then?
Have one right now.
Okay.
It's just the usual, and then...
Uh-huh. And then the song. Yeah. Okay.
Now, who's going to do the English when I do the Hebrew on things?
On which one?
Like, servant of the Lord, or the Shaman.
Right.
You know, if I say it was the Ahavta.
My best.
It's Ahavta, and Anai, Ahavta, and you say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your
heart.
Perfecto. Okay, are we ready to begin? as we live streaming.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again.
Okay.
Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Todd. Shabbat shalom, Dante. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Hey, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha. Oh Rav Simcha, Shabbat. Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest. Somebody get happy. Dante, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Amen. One more time.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yeshua.
Woo!
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Hey, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Glory.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Welcome to Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation for Zion's Sake Ministries. Lion of Judah in Hebrew is Ari Yehuda. We welcome folks online. We're glad you're with us today. Enjoy the service. The message will be about 12:30. If you want to watch the service and worship with us, you're welcome to do that. We will be going to the Lord's table in a little while, so if you want to participate, get yourself some crackers or matzah or bread and some fruit of the vine, and you can join us at the Lord's table, okay? And now the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua, v'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Ma tovu.
Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael. How goodly thy tents, O Jacob. Tabernacles, Israel, Yanibro Hastecha, Vo.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Okay, the Vishamru. You can watch it on the screen, or it's page 45 in your Siddur. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei v'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, asa Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You say, they shall prosper who love thee. We pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all, Kol Israel, all Israel. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of our Jewish people, our Jewish friends, Lord, that they would come to know their Messiah, that you would open their eyes to the truth of the Savior, the one who gives forgiveness of sins, the one who gives eternal life, the one who heals. We thank you, Lord, for the Messiah, for Yeshua. We just pray, Lord, in Yeshua's name. We pray, Lord, for the Messianic community. We pray for the lost, our friends here in America, our families, and our Jewish friends, Lord. We pray that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would come to know Yeshua, that they would read the prophets. And if you don't know who Yeshua is and you don't know how to find out who Jesus is, look up Messianic prophecy. Look up prophecies of the Messiah on Google, and it'll take you to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 9:6, and you'll see in the Old Testament where it talks about God having a son, how he went to die for our sins without opening his mouth, and that he lived after he died, he lived again to see his offspring prosper. And he rose from the dead. So you'll see it in the scripture. If you look up, if you just study and ask, if you're curious about the afterlife, you know, we prepare for retirement, we prepare for work and college, we prepare for going to school, and we prepare for having a family. But how many of us prepare for the afterlife? How many of us prepare for eternity? Do you know where you're going when you die? If you don't, all you have to do is ask. If you believe in God, in the God of Israel, in the Judeo-Christian God, just ask him. Just say, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, what is the truth? Amen. Who is Jesus? Amen. Show me. Hallelujah. Reveal to me. Ask him with a sincere heart. Keep asking him. And I'll tell you what, he'll show you. Hallelujah. You don't need me to show you. He'll show you.
Amen.
So we just pray, Lord, for our Jewish friends, that you open their eyes. I pray for the Messianic leaders, Lord, that you would establish righteous government in our midst, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna from our midst, Lord, remove the spirit of Shebna and give us the spirit of Eliakim. Any who possess the spirit of Shebna, take them out and give us the spirit of Eliakim in our leadership, Lord. Direct our vision, Lord. Bring us unity in our movement. Our rabbis, help them to be loving and kind toward one another. Make us an example to the world, Lord. I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, bless the rabbis today. Give them boldness to preach the truth to their congregations, not to worry about tithers and offending people, but to preach what needs to be preached. In Yeshua's name,
Amen.
Okay.
Servant of the Lord?
Yes.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, and to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Avinu Malkeinu,
Maker of all things,
Maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hands,
of your hands. So
you sent your son to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven,
holy
is your name.
Avinu,
Malkeinu.
Amen. Okay, please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, U'v'chol nafshecha, U'v'chol me'odecha, V'hayu ha-divarim ha-ele, asher nochim etzacha hayom al levavecha, v'shinata ha-am levanecha, v'dibarta ba-am, v'shivtecha v'veitecha, u'v'lechtecha v'aderech, u'v'shachpecha, u'v'kumecha, u'kishartam, liot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot b'nei necha, u'chetavtam, al mezuzot b'teicha, u'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Thank you, Diane. I want to introduce Diane to my right and Terry Scott, who's come all the way from Culpeper, Virginia, which is quite a way, with his lovely wife, Anna. And they've driven down to be with us and made the sacrifice to drive how many, 5 hours to come here?
Four and a half.
Just 4.5 hours. That's all they drove in the rain to get here. And so if you think that 10 minutes away is making a sacrifice or 15 minutes, think about 4.5 hours.
Rabbi,
yes.
I went through Syria and, let's see, Damascus on the way here. So
he went through some Arab nations to get here. Anyway, I'm going to ask Isaac and Jimmy, are you up to carrying the Torah today? Okay, or Dante, would you rather have Dante do it, or are you okay? Okay, are you busy, Isaac? Do you want to do it? Oh, you want to carry it? You're busy. Okay, so Dante and Jimmy, would you come and carry the Torah and prepare yourselves when I call you up? Okay, you can get yourselves ready, and we'll do Micha Mocha. Ready?
Micha Mocha.
So I can hear it up here better. And the answer to that is Ein kamocha ve'elim Adonai ve'ein kemasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'mimshaltecha v'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach
Adonaiim lo kleolam vaed. Adonai oz liamo yitain. Adonai evarech et amo bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned,
the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Okay. Gentlemen, would you come up, and William, would you like to come and open the ark and make sure these gentlemen know how to carry the Torah? Vayehi ben Soharon, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Adonai, Viafutsu Oivecha, Vianusu Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah, Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah, Udavar Adonai, Mirushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, Bidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen.
La 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Okay. You guys can come up and sit down if you want to sit in the benches here. And okay, we have a new speaker this morning for the first time. Praise the Lord. And a new name to welcome. So I'm going to kind of Hebraicize. I gave Terry a Hebrew name. And although in Israel they'd probably call him Tari. But I'm calling him Tiran. Tiran. So Yamod Tiran bin, is it Lali? Loni. Loni. Yamod Tiran bin Loni Litorah Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorah
Baruch Adonai Hamavorah
Baruch Adonai Rachiyom Vaed Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim Benatan Lanu et Torato Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord,
our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Hi.
Good morning.
Shabbat Shalom. I was surprised the rabbi asked me to do this, but I told him that I would do it just out of respect to the Lord, and that just to remind myself also and everybody, we're all servants before God, and when God calls us to do something, to do it, not to wait. So today the teaching was on when you take Exodus. In the book of Exodus, Moses shined with the presence of God's glory. Hold on. Exodus 34, 35, and Exodus 30, 11. There's quite a few scriptures that I'm going to go through, but I'm going to condense them for the sake of time. So Moses was shined with the presence of God's glory, and now the same has been reversed. We can now go into God's presence, into the glory, in the Holy of Holies, through Jesus, through Yeshua. Yeshua paved the way. There were a lot of type and symbols in the Old Testament where Moses walked. He delivered the children of Israel, went through the Red Sea. They had water given to them. God's glory cloud followed them. That's how much he loved them. And you know what? That's how much he loves us. His glory cloud follows us now, but we don't see it. It's right there. It's right. He's right next to you. And the glory cloud comes in the form of Yeshua. When Yeshua was died and went to the cross, that's what he did. He bridged the gap between mankind in God, Adonai, Elohim. He has many names. And when he did that, all the power and authority was given to his people. Because we are created in the image of God. And through that image, God wants us to be replication of himself in love, paramount. And he said, without love, it's impossible to enter the kingdom of God and to serve him and please him. So that is the paramount item he wants from us. Love one another as you would love yourselves. In Luke 11:14 through 20 and Matthew 12 through 20, 2 through 39, both set of scriptures listed above. Jesus was tested by the people who saw Yeshua drive out the dumb spirit from the man. Some stated he did it through the authority of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others were trying to trap him, who asked the same question. He knew what they were thinking and replied, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, with the one house collapsing on another. If Satan also be divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out devils by Beelzebub.'" Yeshua taught in a very different way. He taught the people around him the way they would understand in their times, just like right now. God teaches us through his word that he left us, and he don't want us to deviate from it. He wants us not to follow false prophets, not to follow man. He wants to listen to his word and pray and fast. It's never changed. God's word never changes, and it never will. When we go to heaven to be with Yeshua, his word's going to be there, and we're going to be judged by his word. Another scripture I had was Acts 7:35 and Acts 8:1. What I'm talking about here is Stephen was brought before the high priest and gave defense of who Yeshua was by reaching back through the history of times, bringing together who God was and why he came. And in that scripture, the Lord showed me, just like Rabbi, he's a Jew, he's Jewish, he came from Israel, his family. I'm a Gentile, but I'm grafted into the olive tree as one new man. But the thing is, he has things I need to know, and I'm learning from him. Just like that example is way the Lord wants us to have with Yeshua. Not with these false teachings, because there are coming so many. And the things I'm seeing now are things such as distractions. How many distractions in a day do you get when you purpose your heart to read the word of God, pray, or anything towards God? How many? I can't count them sometimes. And then the mind's attacked. We got to guard ourselves with the word of God. In Ephesians 6, it says to put on the armor of God, to do battle against those things that come at us. We have to do it to survive. We're in the end days. And this, my main topic on the service, and what I was bringing forth, was talking about the authority of Yeshua. And last night, I was dreaming. I laid down and I was sitting in here, and that door opened. And these pews had people in them. That door opened, and God showed me his cloud came in, his authority, his power, his Shekinah glory. It filled this place. God is going to fill this place. And everybody in here right now is feeling God, whether you know it or not, and you may deny it. But God is here. And he will reach down in the depths of your soul, and he will touch you, and he will anoint you, and he'll give you the answers you want, and he'll heal you. Right now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, now. We're in the end days, and God said, "All authority I have given you, go forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and do these things I have commanded you." And what did they do? The Messianic Jews went out, and they filled the earth with God's word. The last thing I want to talk about was how Jesus returned to heaven. I talked about how he died and how he came as the sacrifice lamb. There's a song that's called The Sacrifice Lamb, and it talks about that. If you ever want to hear what Jesus did, listen to it. It tells you. Jesus came back, and he came as the Lamb of God. And they said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But he's coming back as the Lion of Judah, the conquering king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he will not hesitate. There's a time. We know not the time nor the hour that the Son of God will return. But he is coming. And he's coming in all his glory. The Shekinah glory. All the glory. Man can make a word to describe the glory of God. But there is really none. We will see it when he comes. Jesus returned to heaven. In Mark, or Matthew 17:2, I'll list these. Matthew 28:16-20, Mark 16:15-20, Luke 24:50-53. Read those. Acts 1:1-11, and Exodus 33:18. Moses asked to see God's glory, but God allowed him to see only his back because he would have died. He said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show me your glory. That's what we need to be doing right here, right now, each of us. Show me your glory, God. Change me daily. Make me in your image that when I walk like Paul. I have that Shekinah glory over my life. The cloud follows me where I go, and the anointing touches the people around me. And when I pray for people, they get healed. I'm tired of not seeing people's healing. I know God heals. He says it in his word. He's healed me. And by his stripes, I'm healed. And then finally, I would ask each of us to reach down in the depths of our hearts and ask the authority of God to come over our lives. The glory cloud to fill our lives, and that you know the persecution will come, because it says, as in the end days, the persecution is here. But this church is not being persecuted like it is in Iran or other places where the Christian people are there, or Israel even. They're being persecuted big time. But the Christian people here in the U.S. are spoiled rotten. They don't understand. There are people that do, but the people here have not seen persecution yet. It's coming. Amen. It's coming, and it's coming fast. Look at the signs and the times. And I wonder also why the pastors in the pulpit don't just go over the book of Revelations and study it to warn their congregations. Pastors out there, do that. It's time. God's provisions. Just as God provided sacrifices through the Old Testament, he provided the final sacrifice once and for all, Yeshua, to die for the sins of mankind. He was a sacrifice lamb for the sins of the world. While we were born into sin, we can deliver from darkness if we call on him and ask him to forgive us and turn from our ways and follow him. He said, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Finally, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and the Lord shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7:17. Shalom. God bless you.
All rise for the closing of the Torah.
A preacher is born. I feel like a proud father. What's next? It's Chaim?
No, Vizor HaTorah.
Vizor HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Okay, Amen. It's Chaim. It's Chaim.
Peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Okay. Y'all, thank you, gentlemen. Please be seated. And I'm going to have announcements. Then we'll take our offering. So, hallelujah. Okay. Okay, so Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom, folks online. This is Rabbi Joe. Are we online? Shabbat Shalom, Carol. And we've had a trying week we're trying to figure out why our live stream was down, but we found out we got a new router. It's a very powerful router. It looks like one of those things that fly in the air, a drone. It actually looks like a drone, but it's a router. Maybe it flies around the synagogue, Fred. I don't know, but it's very powerful. And so so now we're back online, and so welcome back, folks who have joined us again. Just want to tell you, so today is what's today, the 23rd? Okay, so Purim is coming, and Purim is coming in the 22nd. Well, actually, it's Erev Purim is the 20th. We'll probably celebrate Purim on Friday night, the 22nd of March, or Adar 2. We'll celebrate we'll have a community Purim service, and then Shabbat that week. But I'm going to talk about Purim to get us in the mood and the spirit today and preparing to study for Purim, which is coming up. Purim is the Feast of Esther, in case you don't know what Purim is. Purim is the Feast of Esther. And so now we move forward another month to April. We come to Passover, which is on, of course, is always on Nisan 14, the 14th of the first month on the biblical calendar, is the beginning of Passover. That's Christians will call that Good Friday this year, and our Passover banquet is scheduled for the 20th of April. It's scheduled for the 20th of April. Again, we haven't arrived at... My mother passed away. I'm sorry. We haven't had a chance to get work on pricing or advertising for Passover. My mom passed away on February 2nd, and it's just been a hectic January and February for me, so we have not been able to get the Passover advertising out. We'll try to get that out shortly. So just know, if you just plan to come, if you like, enjoy our Passovers, plan on it. We'll get you the information out. If you're interested in our Passover and you're watching online, you can sign up online for our newsletter, and you'll get information about our Passover. You've tried the rest, now try the best. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. No, seriously, we have a good Passover. We have a great Passover Seder. I mean, how many of you would agree with that? How many of you are here because of Passover? One. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a big percentage in this room. So, all right. Well, it's raining today, and
it's pouring, and so they had flood warnings in the town we're in, which is Bristol, Virginia, and they had flood warnings, which I knew meant there would be a puddle out in the grass, and there is a puddle in the grass, but there is no puddle in the parking lot, and hopefully the fellowship hall is dry as a bone. Amen. It is dry as a bone. Anybody check it? Amen. It's dry as a bone. So all you had to risk was putting on a raincoat. It's not too late to get here. Just bundle up, put a raincoat on, a little rain bonnet, put your galoshes on, get in your car, and you'll make it. I promise you, there's no rivers going down the street. It's safe. It's warm. It's toasty. Come on down and worship with us. All right? It's not too late. Get in your car and go. And, you know, you don't have to be Jewish. People say to me, you know, I'd like to check out this synagogue, this Messianic synagogue, but I'm afraid, you know, I thought I had to be Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish to come here. In fact, most people are not of Jewish descent. You just have to want to be, you just have to want to learn and be interested in hanging out with Jews. That's all. That's all it is. I mean, you don't have to be Jewish by blood, you know. If you come, you join with us, and you can still go to your church on Sunday and come here on Saturday. That's probably why God made the Jewish Sabbath on Saturday and the Christian day of worship on Sunday, so that Christians could come and worship with Jews on Saturday, and then Christians who wanted to go to church on Sunday would still be able to go. Amen? So, you know, you don't have to leave your church. We don't tell it. I've never told anyone to leave their church. In fact, I've had guys say, my wife doesn't want me to come. She wants to go to a Sunday church. I tell these guys, I say, you know what? Go with your wife. Please her. Do what she wants to go to a Sunday church. Just ask her one question, though. Say, would you mind if I come to Rabbi Joe's place, to the synagogue, on Saturday by myself, and I'll go to church with you anywhere you want on Sunday? And every guy that's ever done that, his wife ended up coming. Praise the Lord. I've seen that happen. Okay, so Passover again is the 20th of April. We'll be having our community Passover banquet on the 19th. We'll be doing our Seder with New Life Baptist Church. We'll be having a Seder with the church itself, just us and them. And I suppose guests, if you wanted to come Friday night, we could arrange that. We could take some, but we won't have a lot of room. So, you know, let us know if you can't make it Saturday and you want to come Friday. Let us know. Anyway, praise the Lord. Our fellowship hall is about done. William and Dante have been working on it, and Ron too. And they've been, it's except for a couple electrical outlets. But what we could use are some ladies to come, or people to come, but the ladies know the kitchen better than the guys for the most part, to get the kitchen straightened out. It's ready to go. I'd like to have rededicate it and have lunch there next week. It's ready to go. We just need to come pick a day and come and clean it and get it, you know, get it ready, get the kitchen ready, get some food, whatever. Creamer, you know, things we need, butter, you know, mayonnaise. We got that. Bill says we got that. He's got me on my toes. I can't keep up with him. He's got me, you know, he's always a step ahead of me, sometimes two. Anyway, we're going to shoot for next week to reopen the fellowship hall. It's beautiful in there. If you haven't seen it, you should go down and see it. And but next week we'll have lunch there. So, but we do need some help. We need a woman's touch, I'm telling you. We just need the ladies to just get the kitchen in order. That's all we're asking. Get the kitchen back in order. The sink's hooked up. The water heater's going. We got an electrician coming Tuesday to fix the air conditioner. It's ready to go. The tables are out. The chairs are out. We just need to get that kitchen ready for lunch. Amen? Amen. Okay. Can I get any volunteers who would come this week? Or would anybody raise their hands who'd be willing to come and help? Carol said she would. Do I hear anyone else going once, going twice, going three times? You don't have to be a woman. Hallelujah. And just somebody to help Carol. Anybody want to come and help Carol get the kitchen ready? Going once, going twice. William will come, that's two. Fred will come, that's three. Praise the Lord. All right, we have three people committed to fixing up the kitchen. Carol will direct. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Get with Carol. Get with Carol. If you can't reach her or you leave, you miss her, talk to me. I'll find out. Okay? Thank you, Fred. Fred is a servant, and Fred is a great encourager. And okay, so let's continue on. Terry, I'm going to just share some prayer needs. Please, Terry's been getting headaches. You know, he's got, those of you know what's going on with Terry. Just pray for him. He's been having a lot of headaches, so he's asked me for prayer. Is that correct? And do you want me to tell more, or you just want to leave it there? Okay, we'll just leave it there. Those of you who know, pray for Terry, for his headaches to stop, and for healing. Wendell said he blew out his knees, kind of swollen, and he needs prayer for his knee. Vicky, who's in our office, she fell on her knee, and it's swollen up, and she can't bend it very well, and she gets stuck, and she's really struggling. She's afraid it's she calls it possibly a torn meniscus. We don't receive that report. We just pray for her healing. In the name of Yeshua, we just pray that, Lord, you heal Vicky and heal that knee in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, God. And also, our bookkeeper is retiring. We're going to need a new bookkeeper. So, Lord, please send us a new bookkeeper in the name of Yeshua. Help us to get our bookkeeping resolved. Help Dawn, Lord. She's always dealing with these things. Every time, there's always a new issue. So help us to get that settled before she comes back, when she comes back this week, Lord. And last but not least, yours truly, I have been battling arthritis in my back. I guess maybe it's this rain. I've never had anything like it before. But it's been the last couple months. It's been, sometimes it was so bad, I really struggled to just sit on an airplane and sit. It's just hurting my back so much. And, you know, I've been using creams and different things that the doctors give me and stuff. But anyway, Isaac's been giving me back rubs and helping me out. Don's been giving me back rubs, but I'm making it. But just pray for God to heal me. My blood counts weren't good. So I need your prayers. I think I need rest. Really, it's just I need rest and good nutrition. My counts can go up. They've gone down before, and they've gone back up. I believe they can go up. But I think I've been through a trying time, very stressful. And I'm feeling more peace now in my life after Mom's passing. And I just ask your prayers that my blood counts go up. For those of you who don't know, I have a form of leukemia, and I really need those counts to go up. Okay, so it makes me, susceptible to, that's why I can't get too close to people because of immunity. So I'll leave it at that. Anyway, we're going to take up our offering, and if you're watching online and you'd like to contribute, you can contribute securely online. If you have a home congregation, I always encourage folks to give to their home, tithe to their home congregation. But if this is your home, then you know, the Lord says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. We have a box over here. The big box is for our tithes and offerings. If you want to contribute to the building fund, I got a rough estimate that it would be about $4,000 for the to do the carpet in here. We paid for the carpet over in the other place. We have about $300 left in the building fund. So we need to raise about, if we want to do the carpet in here, we need to raise about $3,700. That's going to take a little time. But there's a basket for the poor in Israel. If you have spare change, we always take a spare change offering for the poor. And, you know, a lot of times we end up helping folks here who can't pay electric bills or rent. We end up, they come to us and we end up helping them pay their light bill, pay their deposits and so forth. So that's always going on. So we're gonna take up our offering. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for coming. And just give me a minute to get my bass back on and we'll take up our offering, okay?
Terry, you can come up.
All right, let's pray. Pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the giver. We thank you for the gift. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to give back to you. Your word says the tithe is holy. It belongs to you. And in Leviticus 27, it says if we use your tithe, that we only owe you 20% interest on it, if one-fifth. So we can use, you can use God's tithe to go to Disneyland. Just know that you'll owe him one-fifth interest. I don't know if that's annually, monthly, or what. He doesn't say, but he does say you'll owe him one-fifth. So better to bring your tithes to the storehouse. He says that way there'll be bread in his house, in the house of the Lord, and there'll be food for the children. Amen?
Amen.
So let's bring our tithes. Father, we just bless these offerings and gifts in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Away, Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all. I lost. You know, they've been talking a lot about cows passing gas in the news, and I think I had a brain one. Okay, let's begin our worship. Praise the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise. Hang on one second, guys. We're not here to entertain you. You're here to worship, and we're here to lead you. All right, let's start again. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Rises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God reigns forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. God, the everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary, you're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagles. Can't hear you out there. Rises, we wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord.
Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord.
We wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak,
you comfort those in need,
you lift us up on wings like eagles.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Let's Hebraicize it a little. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Our God Himself is our salvation. Bless His holy name. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Our God Himself is our salvation. Bless His holy name. God is a God of salvation, so bless His holy name. God the Lord belongs escape from death, bless His holy name. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God Himself is our salvation, bless His holy name. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord our God.
God who daily bears us up is our salvation. Bless his holy name. Our God is the God of salvation. Bless his holy name. God the Lord belongs to us. Bless his holy name. Our God is the God of salvation. Bless his holy name. God the Lord belongs to us. Bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Psalm 30. We'll exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Call to you, Lord, for help, and you healed me. We'll rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for you have shown mercy to me.
Dance.
You have shown mercy to me. My heart will sing.
Show
You know, there's a lot of people moving around the country. There's a lot of people leaving New York because of the taxes and leaving California. Hundreds of thousands have moved to Texas. But if you'd like to come to a beautiful place in the mountains of East Tennessee with lakes and mountains, no income tax, and in East Tennessee, only just property tax, no state income tax, and you'd like to come and join us and you know, work here and live here, we welcome you to come to East Tennessee, where there's the cost of living is inexpensive, and there's a lot of things going on here. It's the birthplace of country music. For those folks who are into NASCAR, we have the biggest NASCAR track, the biggest stadium in the world is here, and we have a lot of great culture here. Carter family and the Carter fold and Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. So if you enjoy our worship, enjoy our ministry, come and join us. Come, and if you're thinking of moving, getting out of the city, think things are going crazy, come down here and join us. Pay less taxes and
worship the Lord.
And worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, we're Adonai. Because he is Adonai. Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil, Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel, come with your wisdom and power, cloak in your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King.
Hallelujah.
And for that, we want to praise him.
Amen.
Who wants to praise Adonai?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Adonai. Like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai. From rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Sing praise. Who is like him, the Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Change my heart. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Be like you. You are the potter. Sing it. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart.
make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Amen. Lord, change our hearts. Give us new wineskins, Lord. Lord, if we want that glory to come into this house, we need to worship you and praise you.
Hallelujah.
We need to pray. We need to pray together.
Amen.
I want to challenge people to come to prayer on Wednesday nights. That's how we're going to usher in the glory of God. If you,
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you something. I have suffered, but I have been around the world. You can be seated. I've been around the world and I've preached the gospel all over the world. I've seen people healed all over the world. I've seen people saved 15, 20. I've preached to 10,000 people in a Kenyan church and a Nigerian church in London. I mean, I can understand why people, big stars, have stage fright. Because when we walked out on that giant stage and there were five in our group, six in our group, and there were 10,000 people in front of us, it's scary, I'm going to tell you. Stand there in front of 10,000 people. If they were to rush the stage, I don't know what you'd do. You know, and a lot of times, you know, in history, people have rushed the stage. So it's an intimidating thing. But God has blessed me to take me around the world, to preach the gospel around the world. Jesus said we would do greater things than he did. He didn't go around the world.
Amen.
And I know that that's one thing I've done that he didn't do. You know, I'm not saying I'm greater than him, but he said we would do greater things than he did.
That's right.
And I got to go around the world and preach the gospel, see people saved and see them healed. I've seen people healed here. I've seen 100 children saved in one night. Wendell would attest to that, and Charlie would have attested to that. They've seen it. You know, I've seen incredible miracles in my life, and I know that if I was to leave this world, I have a reward in heaven that's waiting for me.
Amen.
I have an inheritance. Do you?
Amen.
Do you? And you know, I told a story one time about we had a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. A family brought a little girl, and the little girl had a fever, and she was like a wilted flower, and she was lying in the pew sleeping and just sweating and pale. I said, bring her to me. And I laid hands on her. I cast that fever out in Jesus' name, Yeshua's name. Cast that fever out. And the fever left her. And 5-10 minutes later, she was playing with the kids, and that fever never came back.
Amen.
But when Yeshua did that to Peter's mother-in-law, when he cast the fever out of Peter's mother-in-law in the town of Capernaum in Israel, it says the whole town came to the house that night, and they all asked for healing. Everybody, all the sick came. They wanted to be healed. But the following Saturday, after that little girl got healed and touched, nobody came. Nobody, we didn't have a single visitor. Nobody sick came to get healed. Why is that? Because nobody told anybody. The reason the town of Capernaum came is because word spread like wildfire. That guy did a miracle. He cast a fever out of that little girl, out of that woman. She got up and served them. Now, some of you weren't even here. That night, you don't know about it. It's not about blaming you. I'm just saying, when you see a miracle, when you see it take place, if you're not doing a miracle, you need to go and tell people. That's how you can bear fruit. You can tell people. You know, some of you people in this room have seen me lay hands on a person and watch them get up out of a wheelchair. Some people have seen it more than once. And you know, that's not my power, that's God doing it. But you need to, if you see that, you need to go and shout it to the world. Amen. And tell everybody you know, hey, I know this rabbi, and he laid hands on this guy in a wheelchair, and the guy got up out of the wheelchair and walked. He'd been in the wheelchair for 3 months or 20 years, and he walked. happened to me at a conference in December. I was in Orlando, Florida, and a lady was in a wheelchair, came up to me for prayer, and I have faith. I've seen four people get out of wheelchairs. I have faith now to pray for people to get out of wheelchairs. So I prayed over her, and I said, "How do you feel?" She said, "Good." I said, "Would you like to get up and walk?" She said, "Yeah." She got up. I said, "Take my hand." We walked. Amen. And then, Amen. You know, she got back in the chair, but she walked. She hadn't been out of that chair walking in a long, long time.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You know? And, you know, it was like nobody cared. Even at the conference, nobody said anything to anyone. You know, if we don't share, when we see God, it's not Joe Bell. When we see God doing miracles, we need to tell people. Amen. The woman at the well, she met the Messiah. She ran back to the whole town. She told everybody about the Messiah. Amen? She told everybody. You know, nobody could keep a secret. Even the blind man who got healed on the Sabbath, he couldn't keep a secret. He went out, you know, and told people he got healed. Jesus got in trouble. Yeshua got in trouble for healing him on the Sabbath. Pharisees came to him and they said, "Did you heal this man on the Sabbath?" And he said, "What's easier to do, forgive sins or heal the sick? And which one is easier?" You know, that was his response to them. But if you can't do something, first of all, the Bible says stir up the gifts. Ask God for the gift. If you don't have a gift, ask him for it. He'll give it to you. He gives freely to his children if we ask. That's number one. Number two, if you don't perform miracles, or if you don't have a gift of healing or intercession, if you don't have the gift of intercession or something, you know, invite people who do. Invite them to come, you know, and join with us. You can do that, you know, and keep telling. You may not see a lot of fruit, but you might grab one or two people. Amen? All right. We will praise the Lord. We will praise the Lord. Okay. So where's... All right. We're gonna go to the Lord's table at this time. And then we'll sing "Oh Give Thanks," okay? So I'm going to ask Anna, would you like to serve today? Okay, thank you. And Jennifer, would you like to serve? Would you come on up? And folks at home, we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you'd like to join us, like I said before, if you have some matzah or some bread, crackers, whatever, some fruit of the vine, grape juice, Welch's, Manischewitz, Mogan David, feel free to grab it. I'm going to switch to my headset and
take a swig here. Praise the Lord. This isn't moonshine. Could be, but it isn't. It's glory shine. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I'm going to bless the... first I'll bless it, then I'll let you know. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the dead on the third day. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup, the third cup of the Passover meal, because it was a Passover meal, and he took the cup we call the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." That same Passover night, he took the three pieces of bread on every table called the Unity, and three pieces of matzah, unleavened bread. And he said this, he took the afikomen, Jews will know what the afikomen is, the middle piece, and he broke it and he gave it out to his disciples. He gave it to them and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." And so by doing so, he forever changed the meaning of Passover. He took it from looking back to Moses and what God did for a people 3,000 years ago to personal. He made it personal for you, because Yeshua died on the cross for you and me. Amen? And so what he did that by saying that what was going to happen to him, he was saying, this redemption, this bud's for you. This blood's for you. Amen? Not this bud. This blood's for you. What I'm giving you is redemption. It's not about what happened to Moses and the children of Israel. It's about you. It's about my love for you and what I'm doing for you. And he made Passover personal. And I used to sit there as a child for 4 hours. And why are we sitting here all this time thinking of talking about people that lived 3,000 years ago? But now when I go to Passover, I realize it's what he did for me and for you. Amen? All right. So let's bow our heads. If there's anyone who doesn't know the Lord, the Bible says Yeshua is the Son of God. He came to die for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the ground. And he rose from the dead. And he conquered the power of sin and death. If you believe in Yeshua, we invite you to come to this table. If God has revealed his Son to you and you've received forgiveness by his blood, we invite you to come. If you're watching or you're here and you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. If you don't know him today, and I'll pray with you. If you don't have a relationship with Yeshua, Jesus, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If you're at home, you can pray with me. Let's just pray this prayer. Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua, Jesus, to die in my place because I've messed up in my life. I've made mistakes. I've broken laws. I've broken rules. I've defied authority. I've been rebellious. And I need forgiveness. Because your standard, Lord, is perfection. Your standard is 100% total obedience and perfection. And Lord, none of us have met that standard. So we all need Yeshua in order for us to stand before a holy God one day. We all need Jesus. We all need Yeshua. So Lord, come into my heart and with your Spirit. Bring your Spirit into my heart. Dwell in me and wash me through your blood. Cleanse me with the water of the Holy Spirit and put my name in your book of life forever and ever. In Yeshua's name, amen. Ladies, I'm going to hand it off to you. And the juice is right there, young lady. And if you prayed that prayer and you're at home, please contact me, message me privately, send an email, call our ministry. I have a special gift for you. If you receive the Lord today, if you met Yeshua, contact us. And the rest of us here, just prepare your hearts to come. If you have sin to confess, this is a good time to confess to God your own personal sins as you come to the table of grace. Amen? Come and receive his grace and his forgiveness, his mercy, his love as you're ready. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. It's Shabbat.
Shabbat Shalom.
If you really do Shabbat, it's a great day. You go home, you worship, you go have a little bite to eat, take a nap, just relax.
Hallelujah.
Forget about the week. Forget about next week. Forget about last week. Just set the day aside with your family. Read a book, watch a movie, take a nap. That's how you do Shabbat.
Amen.
After you worship. Amen. Pray, whatever. You know, I said to Terry, I said, if he was going to stay in town tonight, we had a couple times worship at my house on Saturday nights. I'd like to do that again, but I really need Terry's help. I'm not pressuring him, only a little bit. But you know, next time he's able to come and stay, we'll do that in my house. It's a lot. Did we have fun doing that,
we did.
Jimmy?
Let's
Amen.
Do it next week.
Maybe
Rabbi.
Next week. Okay. I need his help on the guitar. I can't do it. It just doesn't sound as good by myself on the bass. L'chaim. Be Yeshua. To life in Yeshua. Amen. Okay. I also want to say one thing. We do have a prayer chain, and on the phone. Are we on now, Isaac? Okay. We have a prayer chain on the phone. If you give us your phone number, if you're coming and you're not on the prayer chain, and you'd like to be on it, it's not just prayers for me. I have a lot of prayers for me and Don get put on there. Anybody can post a prayer need. If you have a prayer need, you can post it on that on our prayer chain, and you don't need my permission. As long as it's for you, your family, or somebody very close to you, that's the limitation of it. And it's not for teachings. It's not to post videos. It's just prayer and praise reports. If you have a praise report and you want to share, that's fine. If you want to have prayer need, post a prayer need. But if you're not on our list and you're not you like to be on there, just sign up on the list. Could somebody hand that clipboard out? Josh, would you grab that clipboard over there with a pen and just hand it to the gentleman sitting over there, and we can pass it through the synagogue, the clipboard that has, yeah, sign up. And that way, anybody that wants to be on our prayer chain on the phone, you'll get messages, text messages, and we don't send out a lot, maybe one or two a day. We ask that people not do it before 7 a.m., and that they not do it before after 9:30 at night to respect other people who are sleeping. But if you have prayer needs and you like to post, you like to be on that list, just let me know. Just put your phone number down, your name, and I'll put you on there, okay? So if there's anybody here. All right. Well, it is time for the... we're going to pray for the children, and why don't we bring the children up, and we'll pray for the kids, and if folks want to come and surround us, the kids, we'll just say a blessing over them. Come and join me. Make your mark. Billy's shirt says, make your mark. The Bible says Yeshua is the mark. Amen. Yeshua is the mark. Hallelujah. Hey, William. You William or Bill?
Either way.
Either way. Either way works. Here's Chan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And there's Dante. Father, we just bless these kids. We thank you for them, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you bless them with all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, Lord. We just pray your blessings be upon them, Father. We pray, Lord, that you guide them in life into their destiny, that you would, as the devil tries to throw them off course, that you'd help them to follow the path that you set for them, Lord. We pray that you prepare their helpmates in life and that you prepare them for their helpmates even now, Lord, that they would be preparing and that you prepare them for their future and their destiny, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they would seek you. I challenged somebody last night, a young person. I said, if you pray for 15 days and ask the Lord, see if the Lord changes your life. If you pray about your school and your life for 15 days, just spend 5-10 minutes in prayer each day and see if God doesn't do something terrific for you and change things for you. Just spend 5 or 10 minutes in prayer. Bless these kids, Lord. Protect them from evil. Protect them from sickness. Protect them from the evil one and injury. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we bless them. Amen. Thank you, kids. All right. You know, when my children were kids, they watched VeggieTales, and in the VeggieTales they had this story of Noah. Not Noah, was it Noah or was the one with the boat? Well, I don't know what it was, but anyways, they had the pirates who don't do anything. they had the pirates who don't do anything. They were these characters, vegetable characters in Veggie Tales, and they had the pirates who don't do anything. Remember them? I'm the rabbi who does everything. I wouldn't fit in with that group. I'm the rabbi who does it all. The hardest working rabbi in Bristol, Virginia. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. It's an honor to serve, honestly. I don't mind. I'm exhausted by the end of it, but I don't mind. Praise God. Now, if you came in late and you'd like to bring an offering, this would be a good time to do it if you didn't get a chance to. Maybe you did, but several folks came in after, and I don't want to deny you the opportunity to give to the Lord. So, are we on here, Isaac? Okay. Shalom, folks on Facebook. Today's message is the prophetic Esther. Is this your last chance to save the Jews? Is this Esther's last chance to save the Jews? Have we arrived at that last chance before the coming of the Lord to save the Jewish people? And this is not Esther of old. This is Esther today. Who is Esther today? I'm going to answer that question, hopefully, and maybe you could turn me up a little bit and just a little more monitor in my headset. But we're going to talk about the prophetic Esther, and not the pathetic Esther, but the prophetic Esther. And I'm sure there's a few pathetic Esthers out there. I've met a couple. I've met a couple of pathetic Ruths, but this Esther is not pathetic. She's prophetic. Hallelujah. So anyway, let's turn to the book of Esther, and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, and thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for that you just empty me of Joe. Help me with my humor. Lord, help me to make it, your humor. And Lord, just bring forth your word now in Yeshua's name. Bind the enemy. Bring forth your message. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see truth from your word. And bless the people on Facebook, bless the folks watching on live stream, bless the folks here in the room. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, in the book of Esther, first of all, I want to say something. I want to preface as I talk about the book of Esther, okay? Could somebody look up this verse in Revelation where it says the Spirit of God is the Spirit of prophecy? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of prophecy. If somebody could look up that verse and tell me where it says that, please, I'd appreciate that. But Matthew 13:34 says, Yeshua spoke all to the crowd in parables. Everything he said, he spoke in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Yeshua spoke to the crowd in parables, and it says when he spoke to the people, he did not speak anything that wasn't in a parable. Now, what is a parable? Is a similitude or a fictitious narrative or story, an adage, which is used to make a point or to teach a lesson without... He might be trying to teach you something, but he's not going to use you as the object of his, say, hey, Bill, you need a new barber. He's not going to say that. He'll talk about somebody else that needs a new barber, make a parable, And if you saw Bill, you'd know he has a very stylish haircut. But I'm not going to show it to you today because we're going to respect his privacy. So God, but Jesus would talk in a parable if he was talking to any of us. Just kidding. I don't have that much anymore either. So anyway, I should talk. Who am I? So Matthew 13. So God speaks in parables, Now, the Bible also says, who's speaking the word of Esther? Who's the author of the Bible? It's okay. Moses wrote the five books. Book of Esther was probably written by Esther, but the real author behind all the books of the Bible is God, right? Now, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Bible is the Word, and so the Word is God. And if Jesus is God, Yeshua is God, then Yeshua is speaking in the Bible. Amen? You may not know it, even though he's humble and he calls it the book of Esther, but it might as well be called the book of Yeshua talking about Esther. Or the book of Yeshua talking about Kings. Or the book of Yeshua talking about Exodus. Or the book of Yeshua talking about James. Or the book of Yeshua talking about 2 Peter. You understand what I'm saying? He's humble, so he gives credit, you know, to people who wrote it, even though he's the divine inspiration for the book. Amen? That's what I believe. I believe all Scripture is divinely inspired. All Scripture is of God. Amen. Okay. So this, I want to qualify that. So in the prophetic Esther, and since the Spirit of... Did anybody find that Scripture? Prophecy, Spirit of God is the Spirit of prophecy. Anybody? Let me know if you do. It's in there. You just look up the Spirit of prophecy. Okay. So basically, everything in the Bible, let me say another thing. When God is a king, okay? God is a king, and everything God says, God has seven spirits: spirit of wisdom, the spirit of truth, the spirit of... It's all in Isaiah. The book of Isaiah talks about the seven spirits of God. Amen? Who could have named some of the other spirits? Anybody? Spirit of wisdom, the spirit of truth. Okay, we're all reading our Bibles. Okay, good to see that. Time to go home. Good suggestion for Shabbat. Read your Bible. I can't remember if it's Isaiah 11. Where it talks about the seven spirits. But anyway, my point is that everything in the Bible is prophecy. The prophets aren't the only ones speaking prophecy. The whole Bible is prophecy. That's my point. Everything is prophecy. Everything that's written is written for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that all the things that happened to Moses were written for your edification, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Okay? So Moses, all the things that happened to Moses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, were written for you and me so that we would understand the end times, because it was all written for us upon whom the ends of the age have come. Moses, written 3,000 years ago, was written for you and me so that we would understand the end of the age. That's prophecy, right? Many people don't even know that Moses was a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18. God will raise up a prophet unto you like Moses. Moses was a prophet. Amen? All Scripture is prophecy. Whether, you know, Moses is speaking it, or whether Yeshua or John is speaking, or God himself is speaking, you know. But, okay, so with that said, we have the book of Esther here. And today's message is the prophetic Esther. Is this Esther's last chance to save the Jews? Well, who is Esther? First of all, before we get to Esther, we have the king. So basically what happens in the book of Esther, the king is having, you know, festivals. He's having he's having a big banquet for all of his princes in attendance in verse 3, and his officers, Persia and Medea, his nobles. He's having a big banquet. They're drinking, they're eating, and all of a sudden, you know, at the same time, while the king's having his, in verse 9 says, Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And it says in verse 10, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, He commanded Mehuman, Bistha, Harbona, I won't go through all the names, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and the princes, for she was beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come to the king's at the king's command, delivered by the eunuchs. And the king became very angry, and his wrath burned within him. Okay, this guy wasn't a believer. He was the emperor of Persia. Okay, and this lady, who is his queen, turned him down when he invited her to come. It was not really an invitation. It was a command. Come to me. I want to show your beauty to my princes, my nobles, my governors, and my ministers. Amen. I want them to see your beauty. It wasn't really an if you'd like to come. It was a get your butt over here. Okay? And in those days, when you turned down a king, usually you and your head were separated pretty quickly. Okay? Didn't take long if you turned down a king before you and your head became separated. So, or other parts of your body too. So it's always good. Here's a little tip of Jewish wisdom. If a king asks you to do something, do it. As long as it follows biblical guidelines. Sometimes you'll be asked to do something that God wouldn't want you to do, and that's when you may have to give up your life for God. We're going to talk about that some. Anyway, so Vashti refused to come before the king, it says verse 12. Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command. She delivered by the eunuchs. Then the king became very angry, and his wrath burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men who understood the times, for it was the custom of the king, so to speak, before all who knew injustice and were close to him, and according to the law, verse 15, that be done with Queen Vashti, because she did not obey the command of the king, Ahasuerus, delivered by the eunuchs, in the presence of the king and the princes, Memucan, said, Queen Vashti is wrong, not only the king, but also all the princes and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of Ahasuerus, 127 provinces. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands by saying, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence, but she did not come. Thus, the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's conduct will speak in the same way to all the king's princes, and there will be plenty of contempt and anger. So an edict was written, and Vashti was either banished, we don't really know, or she was killed, because I'm going to change the air setting. She was either banished from the realm or killed or put to death. I have a feeling she was put to death, because it says that the king felt after a while, when his anger subsided, it says that the king felt badly, and he kind of wished he could see her again, but she was gone. So it kind of hints to us that she was probably dead. Okay? And that was the message to the women of that era, of that empire. Don't diss your husbands. Don't diss your husbands, or your head could be dished to you on a silver platter. That's what life was like in those days. Okay? Now we live in a very different world today, where we have the women's movement. You know, where now husbands are getting their heads handed to them on a silver platter. Life has changed a little bit. But let's go on. Okay, so Vashti was a type. Let me give you the types and shadows. The Bible says that it speaks to us in types and shadows. Okay, and so the king is a type of God. He's a picture of God. Amen. All powerful, almighty God. The queen is a picture of the bride of Messiah. Okay? She's a picture of the bride. So in a sense, Vashti represents God chose Israel to be his bride in Hosea chapter 2. God chose Israel to be his bride. But Israel rebelled against God. So God got angry with Israel, just like Vashti, and he cast Israel off. But not like Ahasuerus. He didn't cast Israel off forever. That's the missing link there, is that when God cast Israel off after betrothing himself and engaging himself to Israel to be his bride, and in Hosea, we can read this. Hold your place in Esther. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 2. This is good stuff. God wrote it. Okay, Hosea. Hosea. That's bad. All right, Hosea chapter 2. Okay, so God says, say to your brothers, Ami, which means my people, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Ruhamah, which means she has obtained compassion. Contend with your mother, contend. She is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her put away her harlotry from her face. He's talking to the Jewish people. And her adultery from between her breasts, or I will strip her naked and expose her on the day when she was born. I will make her like a wilderness, make her like a desert, and slay her with thirst. I will also have no compassion on her children, because they are children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers who give my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge her way up with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. She will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. She will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, and God's talking to Israel here, I will go back to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. For she does not know that it was I, God, who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, and lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal, a false god, pagan, an idol. Therefore, I will take back my grain at harvest time, God says, and my new wine in its season. I will also take away my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. Then I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one will rescue her out of my hand. I will also put an end to her gaiety, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her festal assemblies. I will destroy her vines and fig trees. A lot of anti-Semites in the church have used this scripture to persecute the Jews, saying that God did away with the Jews. But let's read on. He says, verse 12, I will destroy her vines and fig trees, of which they said, these are my wages. Verse 13, I will punish her for the days of the Baals, for her idols. But then in verse 14, we see something amazing, the restoration. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, the desert, and speak kindly to her, God says. This is prophetic. This hasn't happened yet. Then I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ishi, my man. He's talking to the Jewish people. You will no longer call me Baal, my idol. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth so that they may be mentioned by their names no more. And that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. I will make them lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me. This is where God chooses Israel as his bride. I will betroth you to me forever, God says. How long is forever? 6 weeks? 2 years? What is it? Forever is for, God says to the Jewish people, I will betroth you to me forever. Okay? Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and loving kindness and compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. And the heavens and the earth, they will respond with grain and new wine and oil. They will respond. I will sow her for myself. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. So, we have two marriages here. So let's read a little bit of chapter 3, then we'll go back to Esther. So the prophet Hosea in chapter 3, we're going to read, God tells Hosea to go marry a prostitute. Okay? God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute. Why? Because Israel was playing the prostitute. She was practicing idolatry. And that's spiritual prostitution. Israel was trusting in everything but God and practicing spiritual idolatry and prostitution spiritually. Okay? And not trusting in God. And they didn't know their God. So God made Hosea the prophet go and marry a woman who was a prostitute. Let's read on. So chapter 3, verse 1, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. He says, so I bought her for myself, the prophet, for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. This guy had to go down to Jerusalem and buy his wife. He had to go to her pimp. He had to pay for his wife to come home. Let's see what he says. So he bought her, verse 3. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, the prostitute, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or a prince, without a sacrifice or a sacred pillar, and without ephod or household idols, without a temple, without a king. Just like for thousands of years now, they've had no 2,000 years, many days. The children of Israel have not had these things. They've not had a high priest. They've not had an ephod. They've not had sacred pillars. They've not had the temple. They've been without those things. Then he says afterward, verse 5, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. You see the restoration of Israel right there? God says it through the prophet. He says, they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. So he says, Hosea, you go marry a prostitute. She's going to run off from you and be play the harlot. You're going to go down and pay 15 shekels and buy her back. Bring her home and tell her she's going to stay with you and be faithful. And because the children of Israel played the harlot with me. And so God's saying, but in the last days, they will come back to me. Just like your wife came back to you, Hosea, they will come back to me. And so that's the difference between Vashti. So the king needed a new wife. It's interesting that she was a Jew, because God always betrothed himself to a Jew, not the church. You can't find a single place in the Bible where it says God betrothed himself to anything called a church. It doesn't say it. It's not in there. In fact, it says that the ecclesia will come down as a beautiful bride. The ecclesia is the assembly, the congregation. But the word church isn't really in there. It's just ecclesia is a Greek word for the assembly. It doesn't say who that assembly is. And we're going to get to who is the assembly, who is the bride, and who are the bridesmaids. Okay? We're going to talk about that. All right, so Vashti was kind of like Israel, okay, playing the harlot, and she got sent away, okay? She's almost like a type of Israel who sinned against God, and she was cast off, all right? But then let's see on, and Terry, what was that scripture that you had?
Revelation 19:2.
And what did it say? Can't hear you.
And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, that see that thou didst not, I am thy fellow servant of thy brother, that thou have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
The testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Isaiah, Revelation 19:10.
Yes, sir.
The testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Okay, so Yeshua is the Word is the Bible, and the testimony of the Bible of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. So Esther is a prophetic book. And so what we're looking at today is, okay, so who is the prophetic Esther of our time? Where Iran is once again kicking up its heels, threatening to kill the Jews, Iran is threatening to, there's anti-Semitism all over the world. I was just looking on the news today. Yesterday they defaced a cemetery in France. They put swastikas on Jewish graves. They in Germany, I think they put Juden and they wrote stuff on a window of a Jewish store. Neo-Nazis just a week or so ago in Germany. Synagogues have been attacked. Well, Pennsylvania, several months ago, a synagogue was shot up. The largest mass shooting of Jews in American history since this country's been a nation. The largest attack on Jews in America has taken place. If you go to ADL.org, Anti-Defamation League, which is an anti-Semitic watchdog organization, you can find out about incidents of anti-Semitism. There is, I think that's perhaps the French cemetery from last week. You see the swastikas that were painted on the... somebody can put the camera on there. You want to turn that light out, Xavier? Those lights on that side? Other side, hey? Yeah. Yeah. And you can see the swastikas on the gravestones. I went to my mother's graveyard, our family graveyard near Boston. Many of the gravestones have been kicked over. It's an old cemetery. It's 100 years old. And many of the gravestones are like that. Many of them were kicked over and knocked over by vandals. They try to repair them, but it's in a part of town that's not a Jewish section. And the cemetery where my mother and my father are buried, and my brother and my aunt are buried. The cemetery has been vandalized. Thank God, my family's gravestones have not been vandalized, and fortunately for us, our gravestones, our family's gravestones are flat on the ground. So it's harder to vandalize them, you know. But see, here's another example of desecrating a Jewish grave. There's another cemetery that's been vandalized. And this is happening all over the world. So let me just say this. God chose, I'm moving ahead a little bit, but while we're looking at this, let me say this. God chose Queen Esther to save the Jewish people, and Esther was willing to risk her life. Mordecai came to her, and he said, there's a decree to destroy the Jews, and you are in the royal palace, and you've been called for such a time as this, and if you don't act, you will perish along with the rest of the Jews, but salvation will arise for the Jewish people from somewhere else. So doesn't matter that you're in the royal palace, salvation will arise for the Jews. If you don't do it, Esther, who are the queen, and you have the power to get, you have access to the king. You know, I went to Israel with Jay Sekulow in 2010, and I was invited by a special guest of Jay Sekulow, invited me on the tour. It was Jay's private donors to his organization, his ministry, his biggest donors. And I was invited along on this tour as a guest. And I was sitting in the middle of the bus, and Jay's assistant said to me, I need your seat. Could you get up? And I said to the guy, I said, I'm not an employee, sir. I'm a guest. This is my seat. And he kept pushing that I get up. And I know what it was. He's a heavy guy. He wanted a seat in the middle of the bus so he didn't have to go through the bumps of the drive. Didn't want to sit on the wheel. He wanted my seat. So he's trying to get me out. And so I kind of wrestled with him a little bit. But then I said, you know what? I'm here for a purpose with God. I'm on this trip. Jay Sekulow is the president's lawyer today. He's also Israel's lawyer in the world court. And I wasn't going to make a scene on that bus. There were too many important people, too much. It was too important. I was there for a mission, which I won't go into. But I was there for a reason from God. And so I got up and I said, okay, take the seat. And I went to the back of the bus. And you know what happened when I went to the back of the bus? Jay Sekulo and his partner Stuart came and sat with me for 3.5 hours. And Stuart, his partner, said to me, he said, Joe, are you going to put up with that? Are you going to take that baloney from that guy who kicked you out of your seat? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to make a scene on your tour in this bus. I'm not going to cause a scene, okay? I'm going to do, if I have to suffer sitting on the wheel, even with a bad back, sitting in the back of the bus, and you know, Jay Sekulo and his partner sat with me for 3.5 hours in the back of that bus because I got up and gave up my seat and didn't fight the guy. Get that one under yours. How many, you know what an hour of Jay Sekulo's time is worth? If he's the president's attorney and he's the prime minister of Israel's attorney, I wonder how much he charges an hour. Expensive lawyers charge $2,000, $3,000 an hour. You know, real highfalutin ones. I wonder what the top lawyers in the world charge. I spent 3.5 hours talking, and he looked at me, he says, who are you? I said, I'm just a little bridge from Bristol. Just a little bridge from Bristol. I was just trying to connect one of the guests to the Joseph Project. That was my purpose from being there, was trying to connect one of the guests on Jay Sekulo's tour to the Joseph Project ministry. And God used me as a go-between, and that's what I was there. So I answered Jay. I said, I'm just a little bridge from Bristol. And he just looked at me. He said, just a little bridge from Bristol. Anyway, God has brought me before some very influential people. Anyway, let's go on with Esther. So Esther, the king got rid of his first queen, just like God cast off the Jewish people for a time. But then the king missed his wife. He wanted her back. And it says in verse chapter 2, verse 1, after these things, when the anger of the king Ahasuerus had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. And it was too late. So it says, then the king's attendants who served him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. Let the king appoint overseers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather every beautiful young virgin to the citadel of Susa, to the harem, into the custody of Haggai. For you adults who know what a woman in a harem, her job is, what she does. Every virgin in the country, in the 127 provinces, every beautiful woman was brought and prepared for a night with the king, and let their cosmetics given to them. And the young lady that pleases the king will be queen in place of Vashti. And so every woman in the harem is every woman in the harem is married to the king. Okay? Every woman is his wife. Okay? That's why they have eunuchs. You know what the eunuchs, they make the eunuchs incapable of having relations with those women, and it protects the king, so the king won't be jealous or be threatened by a man. They make the man incapable of you know, having relations with a woman. That's what a eunuch is. Okay? So the eunuchs were responsible for these virgins. And they found Queen Esther. They found Esther. She wasn't a queen. She was a poor Jewish girl, very pretty young lady. And they picked her up, and they gave her beauty treatments. And she spent her night with the king. And lo and behold, he chose her. Out of all the women, out of all the virgins. Now, let's go back to prophecy. Let's go back to the Bible. The bride of Christ, is she going to be a virgin? Is the bride of Messiah going to be a virgin? Yes. She ain't going to be a whore. She's a virgin. Okay? The bride of Messiah, and now you say, well, Israel was picked to be God's bride, but she went off and played the harlot. But God's the God, a miracle worker, the God that raises people out of wheelchairs and heals cancer and all sorts of things. He can restore virginity. How do you like that? Called repentance. He can restore virginity through a thing called repentance. If we repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, we can, all of our harlotries can be transformed. We become virgins. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So all the virgins, which represent the believers, represents the believers of today, I'm talking about the prophetic Esther, all had to prepare for meeting the king. All were his wives. They were all in his harem. It means each one was a wife, but only one was chosen to be queen. Only one was chosen as queen. Okay? Once you were in the king's harem, you never had another man. You might remember when King David had, he was sick, he was old, and King David, they got him Abishag the Shunammite. And Abishag was a beautiful young girl, and she was simply brought to the king to snuggle with him and keep him warm because he was old and cold. And back then they didn't have heat like they do today. They had fireplaces, but the king was cold, so they brought him a young, beautiful virgin named Abishag, and she joined the king's harem. Now, she didn't have relations with King David, amen, but she was in his harem. And when King David's son, Solomon, took over, his brother who had tried to take over, who tried to coup, a palace coup, Adonijah, tried a palace coup and tried to take the throne from Solomon, he went to Solomon's mother and he said, "Give me one thing. Let me have Abishag as my wife." Well, wait a second. Abishag was already David's wife. She was in his harem. Okay? She was one of David's wives. That's part of the... She was never going to be with another man. Do you understand that? In her life, no matter how beautiful or single or whatever, or young she was never going to be with another man. David, her time keeping King David warm was her service to God. Do you understand that? So the request to make her his wife from King David's son Adonijah was an abomination to Solomon, who knew that Abishag was the father's wife. And he knew that was an abomination. He had his brother killed. He said, take him out to the altar and strike him down. And Benaiah, the head of the army, went out, took Adonijah, met him, found him somewhere, and struck him down dead. That was it. He had done enough, caused enough trouble. Okay, so regardless, all the virgins represents believers today. King Ahasuerus represents God. Vashti represents kind of like the Jewish people who rebelled against God, but yet God came back to a Jew in the end. It's just like Hosea. It wasn't the same Jew, but it was still a Jew that he picked to be his bride. Let's go on. So all the virgins had to prepare for meeting the king. All were his wives. Only one was chosen as queen. Why was one of them, out of all the beautiful virgins in the 127 provinces of Persia, Medo-Persia, why was only one chosen as queen? Why? What was it about her? I submit to you, it was her heart, not just her physical beauty. It was her heart. It was her humility. It was her gentleness, her meekness, the fruit of the Spirit in her. Amen? Plus, God chose her. She was chosen to be the queen. Many are called to be in the king's harem. Few are chosen. Okay. Number three. Esther was chosen because God knew she had a heart for the Jewish people. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Esther was chosen because God knew she had a heart for the Jewish people. The whole book of Esther is about saving the Jews. That's the bottom line. The book of Esther's in there because it's about saving the Jewish people when the world wants to kill us, as we showed you the pictures. So there's a prophetic Esther, and it's the virgins, the Esther who's out there is one of the virgins you know, it may be a group of people, it may be one person, but symbolically, it's a Jewish or Messianic Jewish bride to be, who has a heart for the Jews to save them. Now, that's going to be the bride of the Messiah. Now, does that mean I believe it's really talking more about a group of people than one person will be the bride. And I believe the bride of Messiah are the believers, Jew and Gentile, who have a heart for the Jews. I believe that the bride of Messiah, because you know why I say that? And I can prove to you that the Jewish people are the bride of Messiah and those who join with us. Numbers 15, verse 14 through 17. The sojourner, the foreigner who dwells among you, Numbers 15, verse 14. The sojourner who dwells among you and brings an offering of fire to God, by fire to God among you, that foreigner, that Gentile who dwells with you, there shall be one Torah, one law for the sojourner, the Gentile, who lives, dwells among you, who sojourns with you. There shall be one law. They shall be as natural born citizens in Israel. There shall be no distinction for the Gentile who dwells among the Jewish people. That's why there was a court of the Gentiles in the temple. It's the most natural thing in the world for a non-Jew to be in a Messianic synagoge. It is. A pastor attacked me one time saying Gentiles shouldn't come. I disagree. I think it's the most natural place for a non-Jewish person to be. Okay? I'm not against the church. The church has a purpose. And we'll get to that. Anyway, so Esther was chosen because she knew God had a heart for the Jewish people. Her beauty was physical, but it was her heart and her humility and her chosenness that pleased God. Amen? It was her heart and her humility. It was what was inside Esther and the fact that God chose her to be the queen. That made her the queen. She beat out thousands, tens of thousands of girls, beautiful girls. Amen? She won the biggest beauty contest in the world. Glory to God. All right, let's go on. Verse number 4. Esther decided to risk death to save Jews. Let's turn to chapter 4. chapter 3. Let's start in chapter 3. Verse 1. After these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. And I could say a lot about Agag and how King Saul failed to kill the Amalekites, where Agag was a descendant of Amalek, and Saul was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, but he didn't obey God, and he lost his throne over it. And because he didn't do that, the book of Esther's there, because Haman was an Amalekite. So he's one who got away. Somebody got away when Saul was told to kill all the women, children, and all the men of the Amalekites. He didn't do the job, and somebody got away, and so Haman, this wicked guy, son of Agag, advanced and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, the Jew, neither bowed down nor paid homage. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why are you transgressing the king's command?" Now it was when they had spoken daily to him, they would not listen to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reason would stand, for he told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to Haman, it filled him with rage. He disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people of Mordecai were. Therefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai. And in the first month, which is the first month of Nisan, that's the month of Passover, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Pur, that is the lot, that's like, you remember, you cast lots, that's when you pick like a stick and it's too short or too long, they cast lots. Purim is the casting of lots. was cast before Haman from day to day and from month to month until the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, which we're in right now, we're in the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all the other people. They do not observe the king's laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business to put into king's treasuries. The king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, the silver is yours. The people also do with them as you see, as you please. He didn't know that his wife was Jewish because she hid it from him. He didn't know Esther was a Jew, and he gave Haman permission to decree and kill the Jews. All right? And pick a day, pick a time to kill the Jewish people in the realm, in the 127 provinces. That's a lot of Jews. All right? This is after the Babylonian exile. So, let's go on here. So, Mordecai found out about it, and he was very grieved. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out to the midst of the city, wailed loudly and bitterly. He went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. In each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, And the queen wreathed in great anguish, and she sent garments to clothe Mordecai that he might remove his sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach from the king's eunuchs, whom the king had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was going on and why it was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai, and Mordecai told him that all that had happened, and he sent a message to her. Okay? He sent a message to the queen. And this is what he said. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape. Can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Wow. Okay. Not a hair on the head of a Jew had been touched. Not a gravestone or a store had been desecrated. No one had been harmed or shot. No synagogue had been shot up. No Jews had been killed when Mordecai said to Esther, "You need to do something to save your people." Okay? So, even though there was a harem of many, many women, Mordecai the Jew went to Esther, the queen, the head of the harem. Amen? The leader of the harem of all the king's wives. Amen? And she said, I can't go before the king. I'll die. If I go and he doesn't extend his golden scepter to me, they'll kill me because that's the law. And so she prayed. She commanded the people, she said, tell Mordecai to tell the people to pray and to fast, and then she went before the king. She risked her life. Esther decided to risk death to save Jews before a single Jew was harmed. This required mental, spiritual preparation and action. And then she decided to have a banquet as her way of reaching the king and communicating her message about the wicked Haman, how to save her people. God gave her the idea to have a banquet, two banquets. Okay? So going back here, all the brides, the harem and the queen, they're all virgins. Everybody say virgins. And their only lover is the king, who represents God. Amen? Their only lover is the king, who represents God. They've never been touched by any other man. Okay? All right. Oscar Schindler, Irina Sendler, Corey Ten Boom, many other non-Jews throughout history, throughout the Holocaust, have, these are famous ones I'm mentioning. I want to ask you a question. How many Dutch people can you name who lived, not even who did anything? How many Dutch people can you name who lived during World War II? If you can name one who's not on the list I just said, raise your hand. If you can name a Jew who lived in Holland during World War II, that helped, you know, other than one who saved the Jews or was a Jew, can you name one? But we remember Anne Frank, don't we? We don't know the name of the family that housed them, although it's out there. I don't remember. Maybe you do. You remember the name of the family that housed Anne Frank? No. Schindler was Czechoslovakian. But Schindler saved over 1,200 Jews in Czechoslovakia, and he risked his life to help the Jews. Irina Sendler was in the Warsaw Ghetto in Poland, and she was a nurse, and she used her nursing abilities to treat sick or not sick children and to save them. She saved some 1,200 kids, I believe, before she died. She was caught, and she gave up her life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another, he was a German pastor. He gave up his life to stop Hitler, to fight, to speak for truth against power, to speak the truth against power, and he lost his life. Even German generals who tried to kill Hitler lost their lives because they got caught in plots to kill Hitler. And there was a movie, Valkyrie, a few years ago, which is a good movie. So who do we remember? We remember the Gentiles, we remember, are the ones who tried to help the Jews. The Ten Booms, Schindler, Irina Sendler, we remember Anne Frank and her diary. Those are the only people we remember from had any relationship to either Holland or saving Jews. Other than that, everyone is forgotten. Isn't that amazing? If you know, praise the Lord. You want to tell me something? Hermine Mip. Hermine Mip. How the Mips. The Mips house the Franks. Praise the Lord. God bless the Mips. And but they were still found anyway within a month of the end of the Holocaust. Within 1 month of the end of the war, Anne Frank was caught and she was sent off a month before the end of the war. She was sent off to one of the worst death camps, and she and her sister didn't survive, and they were killed in the death camp with only 1 month to go. And that's how quickly they were sent. They were caught. They were sent off to the death camp, and that was it. Okay, so number five: had Esther rejected her assignment, salvation for the Jews would have come from elsewhere. This is sad. A sad situation today, because the decree against the Jews has been written, as you can see. Zechariah 12 and 14 tells us that all the nations of the earth will attack Israel, will attack Jerusalem. You can read that on your own, Zechariah 12 through 14. I recommend it. All the nations of the world will attack Israel. The decree from Iran, again, from Persia, modern Persia, has been to kill the Jews. Death to Israel, they chant. They talk about nuking Israel and blowing it off the face of the earth. So the decree's been made. Jews are already being attacked. Jews are already being beaten, killed. In India, several years ago, they attacked a Jewish school. A rabbi was killed and his family was murdered. In France, in Marseille, a Jewish school, a rabbi was killed and his family and some students were killed several years ago. in a meat market, a Jewish meat market, a butcher in Paris, two or three years ago when they had the stadium was blown up, the bomb at the stadium, and not the Ariana Grande thing, but another, that was in England. But in France, probably about three, 4 years ago, there was an attack outside a soccer stadium, or in a soccer stadium, and some men with guns went into a Jewish meat market, and they killed them. Jews have been murdered in Israel. You can look up incidences of violent anti-Semitism all around the world. It's happening. And Esther, she decided in her head, in her heart, to risk her life for the Jews before any Jews were even hurt. What I'm saying to you, brothers, is it's 5 past midnight. Jews are already being attacked. And what are the virgins doing? What is, you know, in a sense, if you are a Christian and you love the Jewish people, there's people out there playing Jewish, all right? There's groups out there doing Shabbat. They're wearing prayer shawls. They're studying Torah. But that's not what it's about. It's not about studying Torah. It's not about blowing shofars and wearing prayer shawls or celebrating Jewish holidays. It's about having a relationship with the Jewish people. And not just any Jews, particularly with the Messianic Jews. Galatians 6:10 says, it's good to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of the faith. It's good, therefore, to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of the faith. When you join a Messianic synagogue, you are joining, you're sojourning, you're joining yourself to the Jewish people. Isaiah 56, the Gentile, the eunuch says to the Lord, the servant, the Gentile says to the Lord, let not the Lord separate me from his people. This Gentile who's celebrating the Sabbath, God says in Isaiah 56, to the non-Jew who keeps Shabbat and does what pleases God, he says, let not the Lord, God of Israel, separate me, even though I know the Lord God of Israel, let not the Lord God of Israel separate me from his people. Hallelujah. Another scripture says, rejoice, rejoice, O nations, rejoice, O Gentiles, rejoice with his people. Rejoice, O nations, with God's people, with the Jewish people. Brothers and sisters, Romans 11:25-29, it says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. When God called Israel to be the bride, he can't change it. God can't undo it. He can, but he didn't. The fact that Esther became the queen is a picture of the bride of Messiah. She's Jewish. The real bride of Messiah, and I've said this in other teachings, that she's going to be Jews and non-Jews who love Israel and put their teeth to it. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, Brother Joe, I just love Israel. I just love the Jewish people. Really? What are you doing to help the Jewish people? What are you doing for Israel? That's my response these days. I used to just keep my mouth shut. Now I speak up. If somebody says, oh, Brother Joe, I just love Israel. I just love the Jewish people. How do you love us? What do you do to love us? I want to feel the love. Give me some loving. I got a hint for you. Read Luke 7 about the Roman centurion. He loved the Jewish people. Number 5, had Esther rejected her assignment, salvation for the Jews would have come from elsewhere. Even though the church has attained royalty, the believers, we're children of the king. We are in the royal household spiritually. Amen? But even though we're in the royal household, what the prophetic Esther is saying to us is, or Mordecai is saying, is that even though I kind of believe that Mordecai represents the Messianic Jews, we're here to tell Christians, stand with the Jews, support Israel, support the Messianic community. Go to the Messianic synagogue. You don't have to leave your church. Come to the Messianic synagogue. Support your local Messianic congregation, because every time a Jewish community has left a town or a place, that place has been destroyed. Every time the Jews have been kicked out of a country or a nation historically, banished, that nation has suffered plague, has suffered dark ages. Europe has gone through hell. They've kicked the Jews out so many times. They've suffered so much blood and death because, I believe, because they banished the Jews and expelled the Jews. The Soviet Union killed their Jews and kicked the Jews out in the pogroms of the Tsars back in the turn of the century, 1906, 1907, 1905. Look what happened to Russia, Soviet Union, communist Russia. Has it been pretty over the last 110 years in the Soviet Union since they got rid of the Jews? Not only did they get rid of the Jews, they got rid of the brains, because the Jews were the best scientists and the best doctors, and they killed them or they banished them. Okay, so had Esther rejected her assignment, salvation for the Jews would have come from somewhere else. Brothers and sisters in the Bristol and Tri-Cities area, if you don't work with us to help save the Jewish people, and I'm not telling you to go do it on your own, I'm telling you to join with us. Read Numbers 15, verse 14 through 17. God says to the sojourner, to the one who sojourns with the Jew. Now, a lot of people say to me, I've heard this one, people who have Bible studies, they say, well, Rabbi, I've got one or two Jews coming to my house for a Bible study. And every Jew isn't a rabbi. We're sheep too. Just like non-Jews, there's Christian pastors, shepherds, there's Christian bishops, there's Christian evangelists, there's Christian apostles, but there's also a whole bunch of sheep. And not every Jew, just because you got a Jew coming to your Bible study, doesn't mean they're a shepherd, they're a sheep. If they're not ordained, if they haven't had the laying of hands and been sent out or been ordained, as yours truly has, God sent me here 20 years ago to do this. I gave up my life in Boston. I the Bible says in Matthew 16, if anyone would be my disciple, he must leave his house and his family and everything, his life behind, and come and follow me. And I followed the Lord to Bristol and gave up everything. I lost my whole family. You know, when my mother died, I barely got a single note of condolence from family or friends. Nobody knew where to write me. Nobody cared. You know, that's the price I paid to come here. I've lost contact with everybody. It's like Neil Diamond sang in that song years ago. He said, L.A. is fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. Bristol's fine, but it ain't home. Boston's home, but it ain't mine anymore. So here I am. Had Esther rejected her assignment, salvation for the Jews would have come from somewhere else. If you're going to follow, if you're going to get Jewish, ask the guy or gal who's leading the group, were you raised Jewish? Were you sent out with the laying of hands by Jewish authorities, Messianic Jewish authorities, ordained by the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America or the International Association of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues, IAMCS.org? Or were you ordained by the UMJC, the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations? Or were you ordained by Tikkun Ministries? Those are the three Messianic organizations that have ordination power and are recognized in the Messianic world. I have this synagogue building that I run and I supervise. I could Sunday, I could have a church here and I could call it First Baptist Church of New Hampshire Avenue. I could, get a three-piece suit and a pocket watch and a 1611 King James Bible, and I could put away, close the curtain back there and pretend I was preacher Brother Joe, amen? And I'd be full of coke, right? Because I'm not a Southern Baptist, amen? I'm not a General Association of Regular Baptists. I'm not a Missionary Baptist. I'm not a Free Will Baptist. God bless all the Baptists, but there's a whole bunch of different. You know, I'm a Jew. I could have Sunday service, and I could get a wooden cross and put a since Passover's coming, I could put a purple sash over it, and I could get a robe. And I could put two big candlesticks here and say, New Hampshire Avenue Methodist Church. You know what I would be? A liar. Because I'm not a Methodist. And I'm not a Lutheran. And I'm not in the Assemblies of God. I'm not in the Church of God. I'm a Messianic rabbi. So if I could start a non-denominational church on Sundays, if that would help bring people in. You know, I could start a non-denominational church. Yeah, I could do that. But I anything else, I'd be a liar. And all those groups out there who are playing Jewish, who aren't really Jewish, you're lying. And God says in Revelation 3, to the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews but are not, I will make you come and bow down before the Jewish people. Bow at their knees. You're going to be seeking forgiveness. Because what you've done is you've caused division in the body. You've caused Jews to be confused. You've broken up what God's. You've been like Haman, and you have messed with God's plan for the Jewish people. And you're going to have to answer to the King of Kings. Now you don't have to answer to me. My God shall supply all my needs and take care of me. But you're going to have to answer. If you think you're Hebraic and you think you're Jewish and you think you're Ephraimite or Messianic, you're fooling yourself and you need to repent. And I would ask, before you go to any group that plays Jewish, I would ask, are you Jewish by birth? Were you bar mitzvahed? Did you go through which Messianic organization are you affiliated with? Who sent you out with a laying of hands? Who ordained you? How do you know you're called? Tell me about your calling. I can tell you about mine. I certainly wouldn't be here if God didn't call me. I'm not going to go into it now. So you have an assignment should you choose it, but it will self-destruct. Maybe not in 5 seconds. We have an assignment to save the Jewish people. You're part of it. By being messianic, you're part of the prophetic Esther. By being part of the messianic community, whether you're Jewish or not, you become part of the prophetic Esther, who God chooses to be the queen, to go to the king and plead for the people and to save my people. Amen? Just like Moses, let my people go. That's what Messianic Jew. That's why I'm here. Otherwise, why not? You got a million churches. You wouldn't need me. But there's only one. I'm not special. I'm just Joe. But God picked me, just like Esther. He chose me to come here with the laying of hands, ordained, trained, sent out, ordained, had 12 rabbis lay hands on me, ordained me as a rabbi. Amen. I'm a Messianic rabbi. There's other Jews, but they're sheep. I'm a Messianic rabbi, the only one in 100 miles. Dang. All right, I'm almost done here. So by you joining us, you become part of the prophetic Esther. But you have to be willing to take that risk. And I want to ask you a question. God expects all believers to candidate. All believers have to candidate for Queen Esther's position. Everyone has to beautify herself. Everyone has to go through the beauty school. Amen? Everyone has to prepare. All believers are meant to be the virgins that go join the queen, the king's harem. Amen? But only one will be chosen. The others will just be in the harem. Time is short. Will you be an Esther? Time is short. It's 12:05. It's 12:05. Will you be an Esther? Some of you are. You're running around spreading the word. And that's a good thing. Conclusion. Persecution of the Jews has already begun in the world, in Israel, in France, in India, in Germany, in the USA. Just Google hate crimes against Jews. Go to the ADL, AntiDefamationLeague.org. Louis Farrakhan is cursing us every day on the news. Representative Ilhan Omar is cursing Israel, cursing the Jewish people, saying that the Jews get special treatment and saying all kinds of foul things. She's from Minnesota. President Trump called that she should step down. Unlike in Esther's day, when only a decree to destroy the Jews had been made, Esther acted proactively. Where is she today? Where is that prophetic Esther today, acting proactively? Where is she? Think about it. I like to think the Messianic Jewish movement is like Mordecai, and that the church of the true believers and the Messianic community too. We're the prophetic, those who love Israel, the believers who love Israel are the prophetic Esther. Okay? In a sense, we're both Mordecai and we're Esther. Because we're Mordecai because we're warning the people. We're warning, help the Jews. That's what the Messianics are doing. But we're also, the Jews and non-Jews alike who come together Messianically are saying to the king, here I am, Lord. I'm willing to risk everything to help the Jewish people. That's why when you join this group, and we haven't had a membership in 4 years, 3 years, we always ask people to take the Ruth Pledge. And most people break it and leave. And the Ruth Pledge is this: where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. And when we have membership here, that's what we ask people to say as they join. Most of the ones who said it left because they really couldn't abide it. But that's okay. And I'm not telling you to join, don't get me wrong. You know, if you want to join here and go through membership, that's something to pray about. I always tell people, spend a birth cycle, spend 9 months with us, get to know us. It's not like one of those churches, y'all just moved to town, come on up, we'll make you a member. It's not like that here. We want you to think about it, and we want to get to know you, and we want you to get to know us. Amen. So let's go on, let's finish this. I like to think, so Messianic movement is like Mordecai in one sense. On the other hand, we're also the prophetic Esther. All virgins, Matthew 25, the virgins, the 10 virgins with oil, 5 with oil in their lanterns, 5 without. Then you had the sheep and the goats. You had those who thought they were the true church. And Yeshua said, depart from me, I never knew you. But the ones who helped the Jews, his brothers, who gave them a glass of water, who visited them in prison, who fed them, who clothed them. He said, you are blessed of my Father. Enter into your rest, enter into paradise. Amen? But the ones who cursed the Jews had nothing to do, and theologians teach that it's about the Jews. Theologians teach that chapter, Matthew 25, you can study it. Look at, you know, go online, go to Bible Hub, look at the commentaries about Matthew 25, you'll see theologians teach that it's talking about how Christians treated the Jews. Compare it to Joel 3:2. God says, I will judge the nations who divided my land and who scattered my people. I will judge the nations, the Gentiles, who divided my land and scattered my people. Okay, let's finish up. Essentially, it's a matter, it's a matter of the heart. Are you willing to risk the lives of your children and your family, your home? What are you willing to risk to help the Jews? Like Corey, like the Ten Booms and Schindler and Irina Sendler and what's his name, the preacher, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Are you willing to be an Esther? Are you willing to put teeth to your support of the Jewish people? Are you willing, and the Messianic Jewish community, If not, you'll not be queen at the marriage, I'll tell you that. I that's what the prophetic Esther teaches me prophetically, that if you're not going to help the Jews, you're not going to be chosen to be the queen. Hint, hint. If you want to be the bride and not part of the harem. By the way, all those in the harem are brides, but they're not the queen. I believe the parable of Esther, remember I said God speaks in parables, is that whoever is a virgin in the harem with the right chosen heart will be the queen. Gentiles will take Jews home to Israel. Isaiah 60, let's just look at a couple of scriptures and we'll bring it home. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 9. Oh, this is beautiful. This is what the role of the Gentiles is. This is the calling. This is so beautiful. Isaiah 60, verse 9. Surely the coastlands will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, Israel, but in my favor I have had compassion on you. Gentiles are going to bring us back to Israel as an offering to God. Isaiah 14, verse 1 and 2. There's many verses, I'll only give you a few. Isaiah 14. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers, Gentiles, non-Jews, will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. We're in that time. You're here because you're joining yourself to the Jews. That's why you're here, in case you didn't know. Unless you're my son and I made you come. Or you're my sleeping son and I made him come too. Sweet dreams, little one. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, and strangers, Gentiles, will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. The peoples will take them along and bring them to their place. The peoples are going to take us to Israel. Let's read another one. Isaiah 43:6. This is so beautiful. This is what the Jews who love Israel are going to do. The Gentiles who love the Jewish people. They're not going to play Jewish. They're going to actually help Jews. Isaiah 43:6, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Praise God. He's saying that. And in verse 5, he says, I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. That's us. And then last verse that I'm going to share with you on that is Isaiah 49:22. It's very convenient that Isaiah said all this stuff. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their bosom and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Could I be any clearer than that? That the nations are going to, that the Christians who love Israel from the nations, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and I'll set up my standard, Jesus is the standard, to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried in their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians, and princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth. Kings and princesses will bow down to the Jewish people that they bring back, because they get it. Would you bow before a queen if she was God's wife? If you can read the handwriting on the wall for the Jewish people, the time to act was yesterday. If you get what I'm saying, it's time to stand with the Messianic Jewish community. It's time to pray. It's time to prepare. It's time to go before the king. Shabbat shalom. Please rise. I want to bless you. Shalom, folks on Facebook. Thank you for watching. Diane, if you'd shut that down. God bless you all. If you'd like to connect with us at www.forzionsake.org, you can get my newsletter. And go to our new website. Check it out. God bless you. Okay, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. Next week we're going to have lunch following service in our brand new